Well, today, you guys, we are going to lean right into God's word, and I believe that we're going to encounter him, and we are going to experience life change. And I believe something this morning is going to speak directly to your heart, and it's going to be something that the Holy Spirit has for you. So I'm just going to be believing that you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be something that you need to do this week because of what you hear. So let's lean into the word together. I want to title today's message, Sharpen the Saw, and I'll build that out a little bit, but I'll start with a question first. And the question is this: hey, Pastor Scott, you know, we are meeting virtually still this summer. We're going to be leaning back into meeting weekly in September. But what do we do this summer? Like, hey, I know the Hazes are going on a sabbatical. Pastor Scott, you've been talking about Sabbath. We've been talking about the summer where people are traveling and all over the place. How do we stay cohesive and how do we stay together? And what can kind of bind us together this summer as we're kind of all over the place? What should we be doing? And so I want to answer that question today. And I want to answer that question with a simple, memorable illustration, and that is sharpen the saw. The other day, as many of you know, I've been training for a marathon. I actually will run that on June 19th in Charlevoix. It's going to be an awesome time, so very excited about that. But I've been training, and so Playmakers is a running store in Okemos, Michigan, and I was coming out of there the other day. And as I was walking out, I saw this little tent sign, and it actually said, "We are closed one day a week to allow our employees to sharpen the saw." And it was not a new term for me, but it was a reminder of a term that I've heard for years. I originally heard it out of a book, which I'll reference in just a minute, and we'll get into that. But this idea of sharpening the saw, and of course, it's a very simple analogy, it's a very simple idea, but it comes out of a story of two men. There was a man walking along a road, there was another man who was chopping down a tree with an axe, or cutting it with a saw, whatever analogy you want to use. And the guy walking down the road could notice that the man that was trying to saw down the tree was having a heck of a time, man. He was just struggling. He couldn't get the tree down. It was lots of effort, lots of time. And the guy walking, guy number one, says to guy number two, who's trying to cut the tree down, "Hey, why don't you sharpen your saw?" And man number two says back, "I can't. I can't stop. I don't have the time." And of course, it's a simple, silly story. But the idea is, a lot of times we don't stop to sharpen the saw because we are so busy trying to cut something and we don't have the time. But if we would step back and we would sharpen the saw, we could actually cut the tree much more effectively. Abraham Lincoln said, or at least has been said to have said, that if he had 6 hours to cut down a tree, he would spend the first 4 hours sharpening his axe. This is actually not just a kind of quotes or illustrative stories. This is actually right out of Scripture. If you turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes 10:10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. It says, "If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success." So I'm going to read that again. If the axe is dull and its edge is not sharpened, you're going to have to use a lot more strength and energy and time than what's actually needed to actually cut down the tree. And then I love there's comma and it says, "But skill will bring success." Well, what's the skill? What is that? Well, it's obviously wisdom and knowledge and applying that and all of that. But if you read Ecclesiastes 10:10 in the New Living Translation, it actually says this: "Using a dull axe requires great strength." Yeah, right? And then comma, and then I love this: "So sharpen the blade." Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. The value of wisdom will help you succeed. So there's this idea, you guys, that we need to sharpen the saw, sharpen the axe. And as we talk about this summer, we think about what can we be doing? How can we be active and intentional in a summer where maybe it feels like we're not swinging tree to chop down trees, but we can sharpen our axes, we can sharpen our saws. And this morning, as we talk about this, I've really been thinking about this and praying about this. There's really three kinds of people, if you will. The first one is searchers. Three kinds of people, searchers. Number one is searchers. Those are people that are kind of, there's no contentment. They're always kind of anxiously chasing the next thing. There's not a lot of, there's not a lot of peace. And I will say this, there's three kinds of people, or I could say it like this, there's three kind of statuses or states that people are in, because I can find myself in all three of these. But the first one, searchers, people that aren't settled, people that are anxiously chasing the next thing. We might say they're chasing the next shiny thing, whatever it might be, but we're always searching for the next thing. We're always going for the next thing. We always think when we cross the next finish line, it'll bring satisfaction. But we hopefully have crossed enough finish lines at this point to know that it doesn't. It doesn't bring satisfaction. And so, but we're always anxiously chasing the next thing. We're searchers. We're like an octopus on roller skates. There's lots of motion, but there's not a lot of momentum in one direction. There's a lot happening, but there's not a lot of success. There's a lot of chopping, but there's no trees that are really falling. Or maybe the trees are falling, but it's taking a lot more effort than it really needs to. And as soon as we get through one thing, we're on to the next thing. That's searchers. The next kind of person or the next kind of state that people can be in is sitters. And we are people that are complacent. We are people that are, we start with the idea of security. Maybe that's like the right way to think about it. But then we quickly move from security into stagnation. And sitters are stuck. We're people that are stuck. And as we think about this summer, we got some people that are probably wildly swinging axes or cutting chainsaws or whatever, saws in all different directions. They're searching all over the place. We're all over the place. And then we've got some people that have actually put the chainsaw up. They've actually just said, you know what? I tried cutting the tree down and you know what? It just wasn't for me. I couldn't get the tree to fall. Whatever it might be, but we've just moved from security to stagnation to complacency. And then the third kind of person or the third kind of state that people can be in is that they're sharpeners. There's people that, like a searcher might be wildly swinging an axe or cutting everywhere. A sharpener's going to cut and they're going to swing. And as a sitter might be just sitting and not sharpening anything, they might have put the thing up. A sharpener's going to be sitting, but as they're sitting, they're also going to be sharpening. And they know when to sit and they know when to swing. They know when to sharpen. They know when to stop. They know when to go. And so sharpeners are all about, if you're taking notes, write this down. Sharpeners are all about continuous improvement with God. Continuous improvement with God. Do you know if you are a sharpener, you are a steward. You leverage and use what you have, and you are continuously improving and using what you've been given. Philippians 3:12-14, Paul says this. He says, not that I've already obtained anything or all of the things that he's talking about. He says, or that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and moving and straining forward to what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. So Paul's like, look, I've been given some stuff. I haven't attained everything I'm supposed to attain to yet. I'm going to keep moving forward. And of course, we know that it's not just about striving. Paul says in so many other passages in Scripture, it's actually about being with God. And that's one of the things, is that sharpeners is actually about continuous improvement with God. It's continually using what we've been given with God and learning with God. So here's a challenge that I have for every single one of us today. I want to dare you to sharpen and to grow. I want to dare you this summer to sharpen and to grow. Maybe that's for a first time. Maybe that's for 101st time. Maybe that's for 1,000 and first time. Maybe it's just again. Maybe you need to sharpen and grow again. Maybe you're searching. Maybe you've just been like, you're just unsettled and you're anxious and you've just been searching for something. You know what? The searching isn't going to fix it. You just swinging the axe around everywhere is not going to fix it. Maybe you're sitting. Maybe you've just put the axe up and you've quit sharpening and you've quit leveraging and you've quit stewarding and you've just said, well, you know what? I don't know what to do, and you just kind of put it up and you're just sitting. I want to ask you to dare again to sharpen, to move into continuous improvement with God. And I pray this summer for us, Element Church, would be that kind of summer, that we would be people that are continuously improving with God. And I want to challenge us with that again. Edmund Hillary was actually the first man to ever climb Mount Everest, and he actually tried to climb Mount Everest once and he failed. Actually, he may have tried to climb even more times than that. I just know he tried at least once. It was a very public try and I know he failed. And after his first failure, he actually climbed it again and he did succeed and became world famous for being the first person to climb Mount Everest. But after the first time when he failed, he actually was invited to speak about that first trip. And as the story goes, he got up onto a stage and he gave a very brief speech. And I don't know whether I've heard different versions of the story. This was either included in the speech or this was given after he was walking off the stage. But however it works, this is what Edmund Hillary said speaking to Mount Everest after he failed the first time. And again, this was given in lieu of him doing it the second time, which he did eventually succeed. But he said this. Edmund Hillary said to Mount Everest, he said, Mount Everest, he said, you beat me the first time, but I'll beat you next time. Because you're as big as you're ever going to be, but I'm still growing. And the idea here is that he said, hey, Mount Everest, you're a big mountain, but you are as big as you're going to get. And he said, for me, I can keep getting better. I can keep growing. I can keep moving. I can keep stewarding. I can keep continuously improving and getting a little bit better all the time. And I will get your number, Mount Everest. And I love the faith of that. And I love the hope of that, that that bleeds into us. And, you know, I was reading years ago, it's the book I alluded to earlier. It's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And habit 7 is actually called sharpen the saw. And I won't get into all of that or the way that they talk about it right now. But there's 4 areas where they talk about sharpening the saw. And it's fascinating to me because God's truth is found no matter if it's true. If it's God's truth, it can be found in other places. And I believe this is an example of God's truth being found in a non-Christian book, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But the areas that they talk about sharpening the saw are 4. 4 areas. Physical, mental, spiritual, and social or emotional. And the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People talk about sharpening the saw in those 4 areas. But what's fascinating to me is the truth of that is actually found thousands of years earlier directly in Scripture. And those 4 areas are highlighted again in the life of Jesus. It's fascinating to me. Luke 2:52 says this. It says, and Jesus grew, and there's our word, we're growing, we're sharpening, we're continuously, incrementally getting better. It says, and Jesus grew in, and here you go, wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with men. It's fascinating, isn't it, that Jesus grew in wisdom, that's your mental capacity, that he grew in stature, that's your physical capacity, that he grew in favor with God, that's the spiritual capacity, and he grew in favor with man, which is that social or emotional capacity. And Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life, he had a 3-year ministry, he died at age 33 and then resurrected again, but he spent the first 30 years of his life sharpening the saw. Isn't that fascinating? That God in the flesh spent the first 3 decades of his life preparing for 3 years of ministry. And what was he doing? He was sharpening the saw. Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with men. And thousands of years later, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, ta-da, here's this new principle. Habit 7, sharpen the saw. You need to sharpen the saw physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, socially and emotionally. No, it was already in Scripture thousands of years before. Because without sharpening in those 4 areas, the body becomes weak, the mind becomes mechanical, the spirit becomes insensitive, and emotions become raw. And so we've got to sharpen the saw. So the question is, how did Jesus do this? The question is, how do we do this? How do we grow? Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with men. How do we do this? What does sharpening the saw look like? I have 3 very simple points for you today. And in the time that we have left, I want to give them to you. If you have your notes, let's take them together. Get out your pens, get out your phones. I'm going to give you some points here and we're going to move. So number 1, how do we sharpen the saw? What does that look like? Number 1, sharpening is about willingly losing something so you can gain something greater. Now pause for just a second and think about this. Do you know when you sharpen a knife or you sharpen an axe, you're actually rubbing something off? When you take a steel blade and you actually sharpen it, what you're actually doing is you're actually knocking substance off of the blade. And as you knock substance off the blade, it actually brings the still existing steel into a sharper point. That's how you sharpen something. So what's interesting is that simultaneously you're removing something and you're also gaining something. What you're losing steel, part of what you were, and yet you're gaining sharpness, which is really interesting, that sharpening is about willingly losing something so that you can actually gain something greater. You're willing to give up part of your steel in order to gain being sharpened. 1 John 5:3 said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The idea in the kingdom of God is that we are living our lives with God and for God in such a way that we are giving up parts of us to his sharpening. We're giving up parts of us to him, and he is actually knocking the edges off of us. He's actually knocking sin off of us. He's actually knocking that insecurity off of us. He's actually knocking that lack of hope, that lack of faith, that frustration, that unforgiveness. He's not knocking those things off of us, and we're giving up things. We're willingly losing some things in order to allow God to prepare us for something greater, because sharpening removes and it creates. Sharpening removes steel and allows the blade to gain sharpness. And in the master's hand, this is actually a beautiful process. And we give up our sin and our attachments and our comforts. And we go through a process. Sharpening the saw is about surrendering to God and actually coming into his presence and allowing him to knock the edges off of the places where we've become dull, and to allow him to sharpen us. Again, there's something that we've said at Element for years. A little phraseology. We say we give up things we love to gain things we love even more. And I want to ask you this question that's talking about a sharpening the saw kind of summer. What's the thing in your life that you might need to give up, and you might even love it? And you know what? The Bible actually says sin is pleasurable for a season. There might even be things that are terrible for us that we actually fall in love with. But God might be speaking to us this summer as he brings us into a place where we need to sharpen, and he might say, I need to knock that edge off. That needs to go away. That's a part of the steel that needs to be lost, in a sense, in order that I can sharpen you for the next season. And so I want to challenge you to think about that. But number one, sharpening is about willingly losing something so that we can gain something greater in the kingdom. Number two, sharpening, and this is super simple. I'm a super simple guy, but sharpening is about staying near the sharpener. You know, if you have a blade and you're trying to sharpen, you have a sharpener, you can't sharpen the blade by using the sharpener unless they're really close to each other. And so the blade has to be sharpened by staying near the sharpener. So I'll say it like this: sharpening is about availability, willingness, and submission to the master, the one who's holding the blade. Let me say it like this, right? Because we're kind of toying with analogies here. But if God is going to take us into a summer where we're being sharpened, where the saw is being sharpened, we're going to have to be available to him. We're going to have to be willing to him, or we're going to have to be submissive to him and allow him to take us, our life, as the blade, and to put us near the sharpener, which is really him. And I was reading scripture this last week, and this fascinating passage jumped out to me. I'd been preparing this message, and I was like, that's it right there. Sharpening is about staying near the sharpener. And I love this passage. It's actually out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 1 through 2. And I'm going to read it in the Message paraphrase because it's just so beautiful and it's so illustrative. It says this. It says, when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and he taught his climbing companions. Now, here's what's so interesting to me. This is actually the passage that is just before the Beatitudes, which most biblical scholars believe was Jesus' greatest sermon. But if you take this one step back, he was actually giving the Beatitudes to the people that were actually, I'll quote it here, apprenticed to him, committed and climbing with him, and then arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and then he taught who? His climbing companions. He sharpened the blades that were with him. He sharpened the ones that were willing and available to him. He sharpened the ones that were close to him. And there was these huge crowds. There was anxiousness. There was all this stuff happening. There was people searching. There was all this stuff. And then he climbs a hillside and he sits down, and there's times to sit down. But he knew how to take the people that were with him and told them when they needed to search and be active, when they needed to sit down. But the entire time he was teaching them how to sharpen. But who was he teaching how to sharpen? He was sharpening those who were apprenticed to him, who were committed to him, who climbed with him, and he taught his climbing companions. And I'll just pause for a minute and just say this very honestly and openly and simply, is I want to be a climbing companion of Jesus. And I believe you do too, or you wouldn't be watching this. And so I just want us this summer, as we allow God to sharpen us, as we sharpen the saw, let's be climbing companions of Jesus. Let's do this. Because how do we know when to push forward and when to hang back? How do we know when to swing versus to sit and to sharpen? The only way we know is by being close to him, by being close to the sharpener. That's the only way that you know. And so those who were apprenticed to him and were committed to him and climbed with him, those were the climbing companions that he taught, the ones that were we're committed to being apprenticed by him. And this is really interesting because Jesus even modeled for us this idea of staying close to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And we understand that then they were staying close to Jesus in the flesh. They were climbing companions. But now we stay close to the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 3, and I won't read the whole passage, but you might be familiar with it. It's when Jesus is baptized and he comes up and it says that the Holy Spirit descends from heaven like a dove and rests on him. And there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my son whom I love, and now I'm well pleased with him." But there's a passage, a portion of the passage in the book of Luke that's really fascinating because it actually says this. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And then this is the phrase that's so interesting. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And it was fascinating to me because I had never seen the scripture before that the Holy Spirit actually descended on Jesus after he was praying. That actually he was baptized, but it wasn't just a miracle. It was a miracle, but it was a miracle that took place as Jesus was praying. And I believe that as we're going to be staying close to the sharpener this summer, we've got to stay close to the sharpener. We've got to become people of prayer in a way that we never have before. And I was processing this idea of prayer. I was actually listening to a sermon from Pastor Jensen Franklin on prayer. And he asked this question. He kind of went back into the book of Genesis and he posed this question. And this is the question that he said. He said, "What did Adam and Eve talk to God about?" Because it says that they walked and talked with him in the cool of the day. But what did they talk to him about? And this is what he said. He said they had no children. Adam and Eve had no children. They had no sickness. They had no financial needs. They had no stress. They had no neighbors that they needed to forgive. They had no dilemmas. They didn't go to work in an office. They had no problems. What did Adam and Eve talk to God about in the cool of the day when they walked and talked with him? And then Jensen Franklin said this. And he said, "Prayer in its original form had nothing to do with problems. It was more about connecting with God than anything else." And I think back to the very beginning of creation when we were created and God breathed into our lungs and we opened our eyes and saw his face and the first noise we heard was his voice and Adam and Eve, mankind, and walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. This idea of refreshing, the cool of the day, pleasant, refreshing. And what was it that they talked about? Well, they didn't talk about a bunch of problems. They fellowshipped together. It was about intimacy and connection. And I believe that for us, as if we're going to be sharpened as a saw, we're going to sharpen the saw this summer, we're going to need to stay close to the sharpener. And to stay close to the sharpener, we're going to have to enter into prayer in a way that we never have before. Not just about our problems, but about God's presence. Not just problems, but about his presence. You know, it was interesting because even when Jesus was here, he stayed close to the Holy Spirit. He prayed and the Spirit came and descended on him and stayed with him, right? But you know, Jesus moved in purpose, but he never moved in pressure. Jesus never moved in anxiety and pressure, but he was always moving intentionally in purpose. And again, I believe that we need to take a cue from that. If God in the flesh needed to pray and stay close to the Spirit, how much more do we need to pray and stay close to the Spirit? Galatians 5, 18 through 25 says this, says, "If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident," and it lists all these bunches of works of flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, divisions, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom." Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Verse 24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." They've been sharpened. The things are getting knocked off. And then check this out, verse 25. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And I love that idea of staying in step with the Spirit. And Jesus modeled this for us as God in the flesh. He stayed in step with the Spirit. And if we're going to sharpen the saw, we're going to need to stay close to the sharpener. We're going to need to stay close to the Holy Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, we must stay in step with the Spirit. We need to stay close to the sharpener. So I ask this question. Are you a climbing companion of Jesus? Are you a climbing companion of the Holy Spirit? Are you a climbing companion, one that is available, willing, and submitted? Are you committed to being apprenticed by God? And that's a question I have to ask myself. We need to ask ourselves all the time. Because if we're going to be sharpened, if we're going to sharpen the saw, then we need to stay close to the sharpener. Point three as they kind of bring us to a close here, guys, is point three is that sharp tools, tools that have been sharpened, sharp tools are used for great purposes. Get expectant is the way that I wrote it in my notes. Sharp tools are used for great purposes. Get expectant. And there's this thing is once the saw is sharpened, it can cut through the tree a lot faster. Once the axe is sharpened, it takes less strength because you've added more skill. Once we're close to the sharpener and we stay in step with the Spirit, anything is possible. Zechariah 4:6 says this. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was trying to rebuild a city. He was doing an impossible task. It was not a possible task. And it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Like, you can swing the axe and use the saw with all of the power and might that you want, but it is not by power and might, it is by my Spirit. But what's fascinating to me is that once you are close to the sharpener and once you are staying in step with the Spirit, anything is possible. Sharp tools are used for great purposes. Get expectant. Zechariah 4:6. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in the Bible, right hand is a sign of strength. And God says in Isaiah, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If you read that in the Message paraphrase, it says this, don't panic, I am with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. And I heard a guy talking about this passage, and he turned it into a prayer. And he actually said this. He said, I will not fear, for you're with me. I will not be anxious or dismayed, for you are my God. You will strengthen me and help me. You will uphold me with your righteous right hand. I want to share one more scripture with you out of Psalm 18. That's verse 29. It says, with your help, God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And I just wanted to say to you today, maybe you have been searching and anxiously been all over the place and you're trying all sorts of other things to get happy, to get satisfied. Can I tell you that doesn't work? It doesn't work because as soon as you get to the goal line, it just moves. Maybe you're here today and you've been sitting and your axe or your saw is on the shelf and you say, I'm done. I'm tired. I don't have anything left. Well, you know what? No matter what camp you're in, God is coming today to say to us, hey, I am a God who sharpens. I am a God who gives you the opportunity to stay near the sharpener, to stay near me, to climb with me, to learn from me, to apprentice from me. And what comes is the Beatitudes, the beautiful sermons, and God breathes into our life and he helps us scale walls and advance against troops and he's not left us alone and we're able to do impossible things, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Sharp tools are used for great purposes. Get expectant. Sharpening is all about staying near the sharpener. And guys, as we close, I want to give you this last analogy. It's actually about light, but you can sharpen light. You can focus light. And if you take a flashlight in the dark, it obviously has a certain type of focus to it. But you turn the flashlight on, it allows you to walk through the woods. I might kind of jokingly in a fun way say this. A flashlight helps you get to the bathroom when you're camping. But if you take that same amount of light and you actually focused it, you sharpened it down, and it creates something called a laser. And when you focus and sharpen light down, it doesn't just help you go to the bathroom while you're camping, it actually cuts through steel. And here's the question, what's possible in our life? What is possible in your life if you were to continually allow God to sharpen you? To sharpen the saw. And I believe this summer, as we head into this summer, let's stay close to the sharpener. Let's stay expectant because sharp tools are used for great purposes. Let's expect him to do beautiful things in and through us. And let's allow him to knock off the edges so that we can be sharp in his hand. Sharpen the saw, mental, physical, spiritual, and social, emotional. That's a dashboard. We can examine ourselves. And today, as we move into worship, I would like to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to my heart? And what do I need to do this week because of it? And if you need another directive and another kind of focus, run through that dashboard. God, where do I need to sharpen the saw this summer mentally? Or God, maybe for me, God, it's physically. Where do I need to sharpen the saw physically? God, where do I need to sharpen the saw spiritually? God, where do I need to sharpen the saw socially or emotionally? Let me pray over us. Father, thank you for this morning. God, I pray right now, God, over us as Element Church. God, I pray for a summer of sharpening. I pray for a summer where we stay near the sharpener, where we stay near you, where we stay in step with the Spirit. Jesus, where we're climbing companions with you. And I pray that over each and every person. I actually, guys, I challenge us right now, just wherever you are, would you just make that an expression of your heart? Oh, Jesus, would you allow me, would you teach me to be a climbing companion with you? I want to be apprenticed to you this summer in a fresh way. God, I'm available, God. I'm surrendered, God. I'm pliable. I'm flexible, God. Come and have your way in me. Knock off my edges, God, in order to sharpen my life. And God, I pray that you would come and do that. I pray, Holy Spirit, come. And again, guys, make this your prayer. Element Church, make this your prayer. Holy Spirit, come and lead us and guide us. We know that you do. So give us, God, awareness of you this summer. God, help our ears be sensitive to hear and our hearts be soft to sense you. Let us hear your voice clearly. And I just pray that over us in the areas of our mental life, our physical life, our spiritual life, and our social and emotional life. Let us be people that stay near you as the sharpener. God, we thank you for that this morning. And just in a spirit of prayer, and I just, if you're a believer, if you would just be praying even right now, maybe for those who are not yet believers, not yet followers of Jesus. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you want to do that today, I want to give you an opportunity to start a relationship. It's a surrender of your life to God. The Bible says Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and to pay for your sin, every wrong thing you've ever done. And then he resurrected from the dead to prove that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. And then he invites you to join him in eternal life. And you can do that simply by receiving his grace for you. And the Bible says that God births something new in you. There's a new creation that gets birthed, that your spirit is literally born again. So if you want to do that this morning, pray this with me. Say, God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sin. Right now, I surrender my life. I ask you, God, to come in. Holy Spirit, come live in me. Change me. Make me new, make me clean, and lead me all the days of my life. I pray that you would lead me in my mind, my mental capacity. I pray that you would lead me in my body, my physical capacity. I pray that you would lead me in my prayer life and my worship life spiritually, that I'd get closer to you. And I pray that you would lead me in my social and emotional life. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, you guys. Well, if you prayed that prayer with us, would you text the keyword element to 97,000? And we have a form that you'll get. Click the link. You'll get a form. There's a box on there that says, I started a relationship with Jesus. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we have a baptism coming up late August. We'd love to actually baptize you. So please, there's a box on there for that. If you've never been baptized and you'd like to be baptized, go ahead and click that box. That'll be great. And you guys, we're going to move into a place of worship this morning. So as I said, let's be asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our mental, physical, spiritual, and social, emotional areas of our life. That's our dashboard. And let's say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak to me? Where can I sharpen the saw this summer? And what do I need to do this summer because of it? Guys, let's go to worship.